that guidance. Understanding how you're feeling is super important, because if you're trying to get to where you want to go, you really want to have that emotional relationship with it, that feeling place inside of you of belief, of confidence, of knowing, of clarity, of that love and that joy of what you're doing, right? So what happened for me is I just finally stopped beating myself up enough. I stopped disbelieving in myself enough to where I was like, man, maybe I can do this. Maybe this is a part of me. Maybe I am going to get the opportunity. Success is rooted in emotions.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Cool Down Conversations. Today, I'm joined by a new friend, Douglas White. Douglas is a former minor league baseball player and MLB pitching coach. He now uses his passion for personal and self-development combined with his experience in MLB coaching to bring and co-found soul-centered workshops and a bunch of other things too that we're going to jump into, a couple mentorship programs and other things that we're going to rock into. But Douglas, thanks so much for joining. How you doing?
Awesome. Doing great. Thanks for having me. And I appreciate your time, man.
Yeah, no doubt. So Douglas is calling in from sunny San Diego. He just keeps he's selling me on it. I have a couple friends out there and Douglas keeps saying, listen, it's beautiful out here. It's the right vibe. And I'm like, I know I'm in New York. It's a little bit quicker than normal, but how's everything outside on West Coast?
It's great. And there really is no sell. Like, if you don't like the beach, okay. If you don't like 72 degrees all year, okay. If you don't like sunny, okay. Yeah, like I don't know. I don't think you can sell this place. I think you just need to come and experience, and it'll be in your veins by the time you leave.
Yeah, so Douglas hit me with a little reverse psychology there, I think.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is fine. But Douglas, thanks so much for tuning in today. I listened to your most recent podcast with Jeremy Scott. Obviously, you jumped down there in Arizona and rocked with him. Yeah. I've been following him for years. Reached out to him when I was playing over in England, and he popped up on my timeline, and I saw, what he was doing. And what I've loved so much about this journey in recording Cool Down Conversations is coming across profiles like yourself and reaching out and seeing who's open to giving back and who's open to sharing their story. How did you get in touch with Jeremy?
My sister actually was on the podcast a little bit before that. And he was looking for, when you're doing the podcast deal, right, you're always looking for more and more people to come on, And my sister was like, I might have someone for you. And so we chatted a little bit. He was interested. And then we just sat down. And I happened to be in Phoenix at the time. And so we had a good chat. It was fun.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, when we spoke before, we always do, and I always talk about this, we always do the pre-calls. And I always wish that they're recorded, because they're the most relaxed, very, so for whatever reason, when we press record, it's like we get all stiff and kind of scripted. But when we had the pre-call, you were explaining to me a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are today. And it's an interesting one, which is, I'm excited for you to share with us, because, you made it to the MLB, you made it to the league. Like, that's huge. And as any athlete wants to do, they want to strive as high as they can. But it was your feelings when you got to that point that really made you try and reassess some things. So, before we get to that point, let's just kind of reel it back and how you got started in baseball and where the love for the sport started.
Sure. Well, when I was like 10 years old, my parents moved me from Agoura Hills, California to Sedona, Arizona. And so there was the only sports that were going on there, were some baseball, some soccer, that kind of deal. My love really when I was a kid was for basketball. I play it all day, every day. But when I moved from California to Arizona and I went to that small town, there literally were no kids to play basketball. There was no league anywhere, so I basically had to kind of like rethink things, right? So I started playing baseball year round when I was about 14 years of age, I think it was. And to be honest with you, like, I've always had a in and out type of relationship with baseball. It's been super interesting. It's the highest of the highs, and then it's been the lowest of the lows throughout that whole experience, from playing into coaching and so on and so forth. But yeah, so that's kind of like how I started doing it. I was just playing, and I was just going along, trying to do my best with the playing career. Didn't last mm-hmm. very long, so I got into coaching. And once I got into coaching, I knew that was really my fit. That's what I wanted to be doing. And I knew I wanted to be at the top level. I wanted to be in the big leagues. I had no other reason to think that I could be there other than my own thoughts, my own belief about it. Because again, when you look at my career playing wise, there was nothing there. And so when I did get to start coaching and I started building that, I don't want to even say the resume. I just started building my experiences, right? I started building my belief around my ability to coach and get to the top level, the highest level. Once that momentum started to pick up, I was like, wow, I can't believe this. I'm actually going to be in the big leagues. And then a few years later, there it came, and it was an amazing experience.
Mm. And, you know, I wouldn't have done my due diligence as a podcast host without doing some research on you. So Wikipedia was my best friend. But that's how you know you made it. You know, that's how you know you made it in America. If you have a Wikipedia page, that's it. You know, like
I didn't even know I had a Wikipedia page. Right. I would be hilarious to see what's on that thing.
No, but it spoke about, you know, your accomplishments and stuff, and you won a championship with with the Astros, Angels.
Me as a personal pitching coach on an mm-hmm. affiliate team, I've won four championships in six seasons as a minor league coach. Mm-hmm. And then once I became a pitching coordinator in the Astros organization, where I was running the minor league system for pitchers, in 2017, I was fortunate enough to be in the organization when we won the World Series. Wow. But also I have a World Series ring in 2011 with the Cardinals, because I was in the organization at the time that we won it then too. So I actually have two rings. So that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
That is very awesome to hear. So you realize, you know, as a player that, and again, in that pre-call that we spoke about, you know, mm-hmm. playing in the minor leagues is difficult. Not a lot of money goes into it. A lot of investment goes into it. And it's very difficult to get into that, you know, top 1%. Yes. You kind of saw the writing on the wall, and you worked into getting into, you know, being a coach, which you felt like a great fit. But also I heard that, because you didn't quite have the playing career, there was almost like this imposter syndrome, like, who am I to speak to, you know, these players if I don't have the background in the playing, which, you know, I think a lot of people come across for sure. So how did you work through that as you got those experiences?
Yeah. So one of those things is, like, I realized that everything that was going on in my life was preparing me for coaching. Because my thing was, I had a great off-speed arsenal, but I couldn't throw a fast fastball, right? And everything in the big leagues, especially nowadays, oh my God, it's like you got to throw like 95 or above, like, to get any looks, you know, especially if you're a free agent. So for me, it was always, I was trying to get a faster fastball, right? And so I went from coach to coach to coach to be like, hey, can anybody help me throw harder here? And this is before the days, you know, some of the people listening might not know of driveline baseball and these different type of academies that are out there these days to train people, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I was a youngster, that didn't exist, you know? And so I was going from coach to coach, and nobody was really there to help me get a faster fastball until I ran into a man by the name of Brent Strom. And he was under the tutelage of a man named Tom House at the time. And there was more of a talk going on about biomechanics and how to organize your mm-hmm. body to throw hard and these types of things, you know, different training apparatuses. And so I finally got into a space like, wow, okay, this could be possible. It was just too late in the game for me. But it helped me then realize what's good coaching and what's not so good coaching. And so I was able to start basically training myself. I was able to do my own research, have the experiences, obviously, with working in players, reading science, going to workshops, this kind of thing, so I could start to develop my own way, my own thoughts, my own philosophies on how to coach. So doing that helped. But the biggest point for me is, and what I'm doing now is, understanding how I was feeling about myself along this route, and the thoughts that were coming into my head about my ability or my trust in my ability to do what I wanted to do to get to the big leagues. And once that started to shift, that's when things really changed for me. And that's when I gave myself the opportunity to get to the big leagues.
Right. And what was that moment? I mean, because obviously as athletes, there's tremendous doubt, there's tremendous anxiety, there's tremendous, you know, before a game, before a training, even when you're not, you're, you know, our brains are always fixated on the next thing. So we're never quite at rest. What was it for you that was became so clear? Because unless you're really aware of it, you're, a lot of us can continue in that pattern. So those thoughts that came up that you said, hey, I need to focus on this to change in order to get to where I needed to go. What was that, you know, light bulb moment?
Sure. Well, so one of the deals is like, you got to understand that it's okay to have all these sorts of thoughts and feelings. Like that's the human being experience. That's never going away. So just because you have a thought of doubt, right, or a thought of discouragement or a feeling of discouragement, it doesn't mean that that's who you are. It doesn't mean that that's what you're fixed into. It doesn't mean that that's what's going to now carry on for your entire career. It just means you got into a moment of time where you were thinking a certain way that provoked these feelings inside of you. And it's just about that guidance. Understanding how you're feeling is super important, because if you're trying to get to where you want to go, you really want to have that emotional relationship with it, that feeling place inside of you of belief, of confidence, of knowing, of clarity, of that love and that joy of what you're doing, right? So what happened for me is I just finally stopped beating myself up enough. I stopped disbelieving in myself enough to where I was like, man, maybe I can do this. Maybe this is a part of me. Maybe I am going to get the opportunity. And then I did this one talk in front of a bunch of coaches in this off season, this one off season, right? And I did this talk about success is rooted in emotions. Okay. And the talk was about, can you feel confident, successful before you actually can be successful or confident? So like, do I need to have success to feel successful, or can I actually just conjure that feeling up and let that lead my way? And then things start to spiral and pick up for you and so on and so forth. That's the conversation I was having with the coaches in the room, right? And so a team was in the room, and they loved the talk that I had. It was the Cleveland Indians at the time. And they called the organization I was with, the Astros, the Houston Astros at the time, and said, hey, we want Dougie to come over to our organizations. Can we interview him for a double A job? And they said, no, we're not going to allow it because I'm under contract. They can do whatever they want with me, right? Mm-hmm. But so what they did instead is I went from the rookie league all the way up to basically what you'd call management. I went to being a roving pitching instructor. So I skipped 8 levels in one off season. Wow. Because they wanted to keep me inside the organization. Now, if I never make that presentation and the Cleveland Indians don't make that call, I'm probably going back to the minor leagues. I'm going back to that rookie ball level the next year. And I already spent like 8 seasons there, 9 seasons at that level. Okay. So it was just this part of me that, like, I just finally, again, I just long-windedly, right? I just finally got out of my own way. I figured out a way out of it. And then momentum picked up in the direction I wanted to head. And then, like I said, four short seasons after, I was in the big leagues.
Wow. And I love what you said about enough. Like, I just figured out enough. And I think that what that, if I can reframe it, was like, you realized that it wasn't ever going to be perfect. So like I just got them out of my way enough. And then there's a little bit of grace there that's saying, okay, this is a process that I'm new to. It's a process that, like you said, being human is something that we need to, is a continuous, you know, journey. But that word enough really stuck out as it's like, it's as if it's anything. It's a process of learning and fumbling and trying again and being okay with that.
Yes. Yes. You know, there's so many misunderstandings that are going on in our world. There's so many people like trying to figure everything out and why A is happening and B is happening and C is happening, so on and so forth. And we're just not going to be in that knowing space for most of the stuff that's going in and in going on in our lives. Like, you're not going to know why everything that is happening to you, why it's happening, right? But you can trust that whatever is happening is for your benefit. You can choose that perspective. You don't have to choose the victim perspective. You can. If that works out for you, if that feels good to you, you could totally do that. But I'm guaranteeing you right now, if you're in a victim mode, it's not feeling very good. And you're probably not getting the results that you want from that feeling place, right? So it's just like, you just got to choose to make a decision. Hey, this is where I'm headed. This is what I'm doing. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be beautiful all the time, but it's something I want. It's something that's important to me. So I'm going to go get it. I'm going to go take care of it. I'm going to learn how to go about it, you know? And then you just go through your process.
Yeah. Wow. Powerful. Now, obviously you've transitioned out of where you were in the MLB to what you're focused on now. How did that transition happen?
Yeah. So, I mean, one way it happened is I got fired, right? So that's a very, that's a very quick way to happen. But, you know, for me in my life, I know that everything happens for a reason, right? Like that's not a punchline. That's not a corny thing for me. Like I 100% believe in that. Right. And I got to a point where in baseball, I was like, man, I got to the big leagues. This is awesome. I got my contract to be a major league pitching coach. It was a 3-year contract. I just finished the first year and they're like, hey, Dougie, we're not going to bring you back. And I knew it was coming. I knew that I wasn't going to be back there. 2 weeks prior to the season ending, okay, I was driving home from the stadium and I had this thought inside of me. I'm like, literally in my head, I said, Dougie, I don't think you're going to be back. I don't think I'm coming back. And I had this overwhelming, just calm, soothing, like this beautiful feeling rush over me for about 30 seconds. And I was like, oh shit, I don't think I'm coming back. But I didn't know how it was going to go down because I wasn't going to quit. You know, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I loved it enough where, well, what else am I going to do? You know, I'm going to keep doing this, even though it might not be the best thing for me, even though it might not feel the best. And it's like, well, you know, people just get locked in. Well, what else can I do? I can't not do this, right? I spent all this time trying to get to the big leagues. Like, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? But when that call came and they said, hey, Dougie, we're not going to have you back, I was like, okay. I'm okay with that. Like, I understand where this is coming from. This is not blind. You know, I didn't just get the rug pulled out from under me, but it was like, okay, so now what do you want to do? And at that point in time, emotionally, I was just seeing a lot of resistance about what I wanted to accomplish in the game and who was going to allow me to do that, right? Because you need to have an organization that sees who you are, that wants to allow you to be who you are, no matter who that is, and let you shine. Like, let me get with these players and do the things I know how to do that are beneficial for these guys. Like, I have a track record. It's not like I just showed up and one guy got better and so they gave me the job, right? So when I'm thinking about that, I was like, man, I just don't think it's best for me to come back. And I don't know if it's later, like maybe I'll come back later, but right now I can't do this. I'd be lying to myself and I'm not emotionally prepared to go back to the grind, you know? And so I chose to step away, and every year it comes back, and every year I reevaluate And so far, I haven't chose to go back or ask an organization, hey, please, will you interview me? Let's do this. You know, I've been through some interviews and some conversations, but nothing that I felt was a 100% match. And so I chose to move on. Mm.
Then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
As is a footnote in everybody's story. It kind of caused like a true kind of, you know, reset. And, you know, when we spoke last time,
yeah,
obviously you had this pull towards helping athletes, towards helping people, not so much in the baseball sense, but also in their personal development as well. Which led you to, you know, co-founding Soul Centered and the workshops that you're doing. So can you walk us through what that is?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is that, like, in today's society, there's not a lot of conversation going on about universal law. There's not a lot of conversation going on about emotional sensitivity, emotional awareness, emotional guidance. Like, there is in pockets. Like, you know, if you want to find it, you can find it, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not mainstream. Like, knowing that your emotions can absolutely help you navigate your life, and that it's honest communication between you and you, like between the physical you and that soul of you, right? That inner being of you, that source of you. That's an actual live, real thing happening, okay? But that's not mainstream. So we're not understanding, like, our kids are strong beings that have their own emotional guidance system. Our teenagers the same way, you know, and there's something about the human being experience that, like, we've done a really good job to convince everybody that you can't do it on your own. Like, you need all these sorts of things to go on to help you. And I'm not saying seeking assistance or reaching out for help. That's not what I'm saying. Like, that's obvious. But what I'm saying is each and every one of us is an amazing, powerful being. And we all have our own emotional guidance system inside of us that if we start to practice that part, it actually is an amazing tool that we all can be in communication with. And so what we do with Soul Center workshops is we just chat about it, we present it, we discuss it, and then we practice it with exercises during the workshop so that people go, oh my God, okay, I understand what's going on now. Like, I understand why I haven't been feeling very good for 20 years. Like, I understand why I'm taking these depression medications. Like, I understand why. Like, we get all sorts of different folks that come in. Some are professional athletes. Some are business execs. Some are clinical psychologists. I mean, we got all sorts of folks that come to the workshops. And every single one of them, if they take that time to reach inside and get that inner dialogue going, right, between themselves and their own being, their own source, their own soul, it's amazing what happens to people's lives very quickly.
And what do you think causes the, I mean, you touched on it a little bit, but what do you think causes the clutterness and to that point? Because you said it's 20 years someone feels this way. And you know, without that awareness, you know, obviously there's a lot of cultural kind of systems that we all follow and we have to kind of push to the side. But what have you seen?
I think the main point here is the clutter comes from trusting everyone or everything outside of yourself. And so you think you don't have the answers. You're asking the questions, but you don't know how to receive an answer to the question that you're asking. So you listen to podcasts, which is funny because I'm on a podcast, right? So you listen to podcasts.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. You read books. You hear society. Like, you listen to the news, right? You're reading the papers, like, so on and so forth. So everything is about seeking outside of yourself and not understanding, wow, I actually have this knowledge base inside of me. How do I connect to that knowledge base? And so that's what we're trying to teach. That's what we're trying to get across. We're not the ones who, when you come to the workshop, we're not giving you answers like, do this, don't do that. Like, we're not even close to that. We're trying to give you a foundation in which to live your life off of so then you can go live it so that no one else ever has that power over you unless you choose to give it to them.
Now, where have you been hosting these workshops? Because I know obviously there's been a little bit of a standstill in the world and you know, things are open back up again. What does it look like?
Yeah, right. Well, we do everything in person, right? And so we started in Phoenix, Arizona. We did about 6 or 7 workshops there. Now we're in Encinitas, California, because again, that's where I live and that's where the weather is right now. Because if you're in Phoenix, it's 110 degrees. And so I like to be where the weather's good, you know? So we do one once a month. Like you go on our website, soulcenteredworkshops.com, and then you can see where our schedule is. But we keep them, they're small workshops. It's an intimate deal. And yeah, we just get down to business, man. It's a awesome time. You experience all sorts of feelings when you're in there. You know, sometimes you're pissed, sometimes you want to cry, sometimes you want to laugh. But we have a great time with it. And yeah, we look forward to doing them every month.
Yeah. So again, you have a lot also working alongside this and kind of intertwined, which is what I'm most excited about in this conversation, because again, Cool Down Conversations was sprung from how do I leverage what the vehicle that I was in sport, or you know what I'm finding is people are assimilating not just sport but their other careers, their experiences into their next chapter. So you know, Soul Centered was birthed out of that, and then also your apparel company that you're working on too, which is Love Affair, which is really cool. And then I want to touch on the mentorship program that you also are growing as well. But Love Affair, talk to us through that. What was the inspiration there?
Actually, this is one of the designs here. Nice. Love Affair. You got that surfboard and the wave right there. Yeah, this is an original design. But so basically, in 2010, right, I'm riding my cruiser bike around Pacific Beach in San Diego, and I'm thinking to myself, because this is like, at that time, I don't know, I was like 4 years in rookie league ball, and I'm like making $40,000 a year. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, if I don't start getting promoted or you know, start getting those raises, like, I don't really know if I can live off this amount of money, you know, each year, you know? So I was like, man, well, what else can I do maybe in the off season to help, you know, stimulate some income coming in, you know? So I had this idea about, well, Love Affair. And I, you know, I had the idea of the shirt, and basically it's the two things on the shirt that when they come together, they form that Love Affair. So you can't have one without the other, right? You can't have, you can't have a board without a wave without a board, you know, that type of deal. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, man, that feels pretty good. Like that resonated with me. I got the goosebumps, you know? And so I started working on it. And I just like every year just got deeper and deeper into baseball. And, you know, that started taking off. And so I put that to bed. And then when COVID happened and I wasn't in the big leagues any longer, I was like, hey, why not just bring that out? Because it was giving me some creative expression. It was fun. Like, I just enjoyed making the design, you know? And I was like, well, I had a friend. She had a shop online. She's like, hey, make your shirts and I'll put them online. And then that actually fell through, but it brought something even better from that. So I have a company right now building a website. They're going to do all the background stuff. All I need to do is get the designs and keep the website up to date. They're going to handle all the other stuff. And so it's fun, you know, part of this whole deal of, as I've, you know, for lack of a better term, stepped away from baseball is like figuring out like, okay, well, what do I want to do? Like what makes me feel the best, you know? So I've dabbled in a lot of different things. So Soul Centered Workshops is like one of those main deals. Love Affair Apparel's coming through. Like you said, the mentorship, For teenagers, that's starting to come through. We're in the process of creating that. That'll be in the Bay Area, a young lady named Tiana that I'll be doing that with. But then, you know, I wrote some poetry. I have I'm actually speaking to a publisher next week to get that book out. I have a friend, we did art, and I did the poetry, she did the art. So we're going to put that together. I started writing more, you know, I'm on medium.com doing, and I'm just like, I'm doing what feels best for me in the moments and see what momentum I can get rolling and see what really matters to me instead of just saying, I got to do something. I got to make money. I don't want to live that way any longer. I don't want to live that life. I want to be way more deliberate and intentional. That's even, I don't think that's a word, but.
Intentional.
Yeah.
Intentional would be a good t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Intentional. Yeah. No, so cool. I just want to be a little more deliberate about the way I go about things these days.
For sure. And touching on the mentorship program, I'd love to ask you now. So like you're at a point where you're giving back to, you know, the younger Douglas, that's coming through the ranks, you know, in sports specifically. What's one thing I've noticed when I train younger players or I talk about my journey, it helps me to reflect, and it helps me to, when I see them succeed, it helps me to learn about, you know, myself a little bit more or
absolutely
reframe how I used to act then.
Yes.
So what has that taught you now, you know, Douglas, now what has it taught you working with athletes and giving back to the industry?
Yeah. So, man, it's super interesting, right? Because as you're communicating to these guys and you're wanting to develop them and they're wanting to get results on the field, right? You got to figure out a way to get through to them, right? You got to figure out a way for them to trust you, for them to communicate with you. Like, it's really not even about you communicating with them. It's like, well, how do I get them just to open up and show me some love, right? So because in the end, like, my job as a coach will always be and has always been like, how do you become your own best coach? Like, I can give you the suggestions and guidance, but in your career, you're going to be in front of all sorts of different coaches and all sorts of different levels if you're a young athlete, you know, trying to move up. So you're going to have to figure out a way how to be your own best coach, because as they give you information, you might not want to do it all the time. That's the same with me. Even though I'm coaching you, you gotta let me know if this information I'm giving you is not resonating with you right now. Because sometimes it's not a match, and we definitely shouldn't go that route. But sometimes it's about, you're just being super defensive right now. You really hate that you have to make these changes, and sooner or later that change is gonna have to be made. You know, so it goes, obviously there's a huge continuum there, right? But it goes both ways. And so, yeah, like, you know, with me again, I'm trying to get people to tap into their own guidance. So we're going to speak about that all the time. When I'm giving you information, okay, how does that feel? How is that coming across for you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Repeat back to me what's going on here, you know, and so on and so forth. But that, you know, it's a pretty interesting deal you've been in that experience yourself, and now you come out, especially you, because you're still playing, like you're still in player mode sometimes.
Yeah.
And so that's a whole nother experience where I bet the light bulb's going off for you and you're like, oh my God, I need to get back on the field like today because I just figured something out.
Yeah. And as I've gotten a little bit older too, and I wouldn't say transition, but as I've gotten more to it, like a leadership role amongst the team, I've noticed speaking with players that, you know, are in the 19s and the 20-year-olds, having had the same experience as them, the conversation is different with them than it was when I had self-talk. So I was a lot harder on myself than I am when I speak to someone that made maybe the same mistake that I did at 19, 20 years old. And there was a great book that I read, and I think it was The Power of Regret. And a lot of what he spoke about was, first of all, that regret is amazing, and people say no regrets, but really regret is a great way to gauge where we've come from and how to help ease the pain for other people and also in our next decision making. But what he spoke about was when we make mistakes, we're super hard on ourselves. But when someone else makes a mistake, let's say like someone spills milk, sorry for the cliche, we're like, oh, don't worry about it, we'll take care of it, we'll clean it up.
Yeah.
And I noticed that speaking with younger athletes that are going through the same process that I went through, I'm a lot more gentle in the conversation. Whereas I was like very hard on myself because I knew that what was at stake. And you know, in hindsight, maybe I should have been more graceful, or I definitely should have been more graceful to myself there. But that, you know, that experience, just like it said in the book, was that needed to happen for me to then know how to approach these athletes.
Yes.
But it is amazing to see how much different we are in regards to treating other people, and then also, you know, the way we self-talk our way through life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one thing you touched upon there is just compassion, right? Mm. And it feels so much easier to have compassion for others. Mm. But I think part of that comes from, like, because you understand how they're feeling, right? Wow. When they're beating up on themselves or they make a mistake, like, and you understand for you, you would never want someone to berate you in that moment of time. Like, you know how you felt. You know how it was to, you know, miss the kick, the penalty kick at the end of the game, to lose, you know, whatever else, right? Yeah. Like,
I'm only laughing because, yeah, that's happened plenty of times.
Exactly. And so you feel bad for that person, although that's not necessarily compassion in that moment. But eventually you come around to, like, hey, totally great. That happens. That's a part of this process. You can't not go through this striving to be a professional athlete and not have those things happen. Because you need to be prepared for all of it, right? And so, yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. That the regret, you know, those moments are, if you can twist it around, right, and take the benefit from it, take the leap from it, then you're in a great place instead of just staying in that place of regret.
Yeah, wow. Now, you've had a lot of, like you said, be prepared for anything. You've had a lot of hurdles and, you know, curveballs, I guess I could say, terrible awesome. Thrown at you.
That was awesome, Paxton.
That one came out of left field. Oh, no.
So, wow.
Oh, God. I'm good. All right. I'm going to stop now. I really didn't plan that. But I guess that's, you know, the alignment you're talking about. But the hurdles, to use another sports reference, that have come, you know, I've always, like you said, I've created experiences for you to learn from, and then to, everything happened for a reason.
Yeah.
We've heard a lot of what you've gone through already, like with the, you know, you leaving the organization, not really knowing what to do, knowing that you were going to, you know, be let go.
Yeah.
And it's led you to this point now, which, you know, which you're basking in, you're really enjoying. What would you say has been such a blessing in disguise, you know, apart from what we haven't heard, in your journey? It could be professional, or it could be, you know, in your personal journey as well.
Well, you know, part of this show, you know, we talked about before, is about, like, understanding that, like, when you're done with that professional playing experience, like, what's next for you? Like, am I still going to be able to be special? Am I still going to be able to be happy? Wow. Like, who's cheering for me now, right? So, like, I want to be as authentic as possible with you. I have plenty of days and times where I'm happy. Like, inside of me, if you tell me, or you ask me, hey, how do you feel about your life, Doug? Like, I honestly can tell you, man, I feel pretty good. Like, I am a happy person, right? Mm-hmm. But these last few years, I don't want to sugarcoat this at all. Like, I've been going in and out of many thought patterns of, wow, now what? Like, am I ever going to find this next thing? Like, what's this next calling? Like, is this going to work out? Am I going to be able to support myself? Like, I don't want this to be a show where, like, I'm just like, everything's patty cake and rainbows and, you know, so on and so forth. In no way, shape, or form is that what's going on. I have to work every day sometimes about how I'm treating myself and the thoughts I let control me. Some days I have to literally go, nope, that is not what I'm going to choose to think or feel about myself or this situation. What's another way to take a look at this? Because that feels better for me right now, because I'm in control of my life and how I want to feel. So I want the people listening to the show to understand, like, when you step away from this professional atmosphere, this professional life, there absolutely is a million things that you can find alignment with and connection with and that same fulfillment with. But you can't do that if you continue to berate yourself or think you can't or discourage yourself. Or you see, you know what I mean? Like, you still have to find a way to speak to yourself in a way, just like you just talked about. You got to find a way to be nice. And as athletes, because we're hyper-focused at times and we really like to ridicule ourselves, we're super critical, right? Mm-hmm. When you leave sport, that you leave the sport, but you didn't leave the criticalness. Mm-hmm. You didn't leave that judgment part, because that's what got you to where you were going in a way. Mm-hmm. Not completely, but in a way. So now you're left with this voice in your head and you're like, how did I become so negative? Why am I so mean to myself? And so that's just because that's that habit that you formed along the way. And you have to find a way to get out of that habit. But just know that that's like a part of the deal. Like, it's okay. You can break that habit the same way you formed it. It's the same process.
Right. No matter where you go, there you are, type thing. It's like, you know, yeah. I could go to San Diego where the beach is and the weather is beautiful. But if I haven't dealt with my own baggage, then, you know, I'm just in a sunnier place. still kind of dealing with everything. So
it's right there waiting for you.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Doug, you've been a breath of fresh air, and I really enjoyed, you know, talking with you. And I'm glad that you touched on that, because sometimes when I do these conversations, it's like I went from point A to point B to point C seamlessly. And what gets lost in translation is the work that actually went into it, whether it's physical work or emotional work or spiritual work. So I'm glad that was brought up, because that's so necessary to talk about. Like you said, it's not mainstream. But with that said, based on, you know, where you were and where you are now, where you're headed, what are you most excited about, you know, in your personal and professional dealings?
Man, that's a good question. You know, I think I'm excited about, like, what is coming for me and what that road's going to be. Because, I mean, I can't not be a coach. In some way, shape, or form, I'm going to be coaching. You know, and I think the vessels that I've created so far are good starting points. But I think there's something more for me. There's something more for me. There's something more, you know. And I'm eager about what these next steps are for me and how they're going to be presented and who they're going to be presented by and so on and so forth. So I am pretty excited about anticipating what's to come, you know. Mm-hmm. And I to be honest with you, I'm open for anything and everything. I just want to be happy. The crux of this whole deal is I just want to be happy. So I'm not too worried about what it is. I just want to feel good while I'm there.
Wow. Now, you gave us some tremendous advice. I was really going to ask, you know, what advice would you give to a young athlete coming up or even a listener? But, you know, we really heard a lot of, you know, tremendous steps to take in regards to, you know, your emotional well-being and really dealing with what was going on inside, because listening to that is our body's going to tell us in one way, shape or form what's off. You know, as an athlete, for something sure. hurts in my hamstring, I'm going to address that area. And more often than not, it's not really my hamstring that's causing the problem. It's something else that's causing it. So there's a whole, like you said, there's a whole continuum. You can just keep going back to the source. But if you were to put it on a bumper sticker, what would you say?
Oh, man. As far as like a statement of advice?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I would say find your own guidance. That would be the bumper sticker. Find your own guidance. Because like you're the one who knows you better than anybody else, right? And if you take the time to develop that relationship with yourself, it's the best relationship you could ever develop. And it'll be the leading, it's the lead into whatever else you're ever going to do in your life, period. With other people, with careers, with what have you. Whatever you want to do, traveling, it doesn't matter. That relationship with yourself, whew, big time.
Awesome. There it is on a bumper sticker. Douglas, where can we stay in touch with you? Whether it's Soul Centered or your social medias, how do we stay in touch?
Sure. Well, I do have an Instagram. It's at Douglas Bryant White. You know, there's a Facebook page. You just look up Douglas White somewhere, you'll find that, right? SoulCenteredWorkshops.com. You can find me there. So you got an email off of there. So anywhere you want to reach out is totally fine for me.
Awesome. And Wikipedia too, so.
Yeah, exactly. if you want to do a little stalking before you reach out, that's one way to do it. That's so awesome. I can't wait to read what the heck Wikipedia is saying about me.
It's all good things. It's all good things. The cool thing about Wikipedia is we can go in and we can change stuff up. So I'll put in a couple of sentences just to throw you off. Say, I didn't do it. That didn't happen. Hilarious. But Douglas, so again, thank you so much for your time. You've been, like I said, a breath of fresh air, and I'm praying for, you know, your continued success and to see, you know, what you can do in helping this industry that we love, and also the people that are not in the industry of sport, but also just people that are coming for healing and clarity. So thanks again so much.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for giving me your time. Oops, sorry.
Look at that. Right on cue. All right, awesome. Doug. I'll catch you later, brother.
All right.